This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. And today, joining me on the Community Matters program is Casey from the Warren County Visitors Bureau. And we're going to be talking about some of the exciting events that are going to be happening throughout the month of August here in Warren. We're going to be talking about some of the different things that the Warren County Visitors Bureau does. And we're going to give you an idea of how to stay up to date with what's happening at the Visitors Bureau. Because if you look on your Facebook page, you guys are pretty busy. You guys are posting a lot of different things that are happening in the community, and I really love to be able to see it. So thank you for joining me, Casey.
Thank you for having me.
I understand you guys try to make an effort to be at every single thing that you can imagine in the county. So that's really quite a challenge, to be honest. So how do you do it?
Well, there are a few of us here, and we're not going to make it everything. It's just not going to happen. But we are making a really concerted effort to the various communities, even if they don't have an event going on. We're trying to get out there, talk to the businesses, the people out on the streets, introducing ourselves, because I just started at the Visitors Bureau in April, and then Lisa has been here since December. So we're still fairly new, and we want people to know our faces and our names and to know that we're here to help Warren County. And that includes individuals and businesses, and especially the events that are really pulling people in, because there are a lot of events in Warren County. And I think sometimes when you live here, you don't necessarily realize how many things are going on. So Lisa's been doing a great job of keeping our community calendar updated on our website, which is wcvb.net. And if you go there, it is just so many events almost every day, but weekends are just packed. If you're more active and you like the trails, and I mean, there's all kinds of races, whether it's on bike or foot, but if you're not into that kind of stuff, I mean, you can rent a boat and go float out on a reservoir, or just so many different things, or museums. And, you know, people don't realize the cultural events and businesses that we have here too. It's amazing.
Prairie Art Gallery, for example, shout out to them, because they're open for free on the weekends, and they really bring in a lot of great exhibitions, and they're a really great opportunity for people to check out here in downtown Warren. I know that, but I know you guys work really diligently on that community calendar that you guys have there. And you guys are constantly updating the Facebook page with different things that you guys are out at in the community. Getting closer to August, I know there's a bunch of different things that are going to be happening throughout the whole month. So would you mind going through some of the different things that people can go to here in the community?
Oh my goodness, yes. There's a ton. So again, I do recommend going to our website, which is wcvb.net. You can see, you know, everything. But, you know, some of the big ones, like the Tango, is coming up August 6th. And that's huge. If you go out 59 and you just see the people that are on the water, on the roads, in the woods, I mean, they're all over the place having a great time. That's a really big and fun event if you're active. And if you're not, you can go and watch and cheer them on and hang out at Kinzu Beach. I mean, talk about a nice summer day. You know, also that weekend is Cornfest at Youngsville. They're bringing that back. So that'll be, you know, a lot of fun. That's one of those nice community days. Now, Youngsville is not huge, but they do some awesome things there. And so that's worth going to that weekend. And then, of course, probably the biggest thing in August is the fair, which is August 8th through 13th. And we know how huge that is. And they are having rides this year and vendors, and you can't beat their food. I mean, come on, you can go just for the food and the animals, you know, whatever have you. And yeah, the Visitors Bureau will be there too. We have a table we'll be set up for passing out general information about Warren County and just seeing the awesome people. So that's, we're really excited about that one. We're gearing up for that. And Monday, August 8th is the free day. So, I mean, there's no excuse, you know, get yourself to the fair. And we actually do sell advance tickets at the Visitors Bureau. So if you want to go to the fair, come see us. We have them here. Yeah, they're cheaper now than if you buy them at the gate. So if you want to come by, we do have some here. After that, the next week, the week of the August 14th, Sheffield's Fireman Festival is going on, and Sheffield really knows how to do it up. If you go down that main drag there with the park, it's, you know, it's quite the thing. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the industrial softball tournament is in August. It's the weekend of the 19th. That's a big draw. People love that. I mean, it fills up Betts and Fields all around. That's a lot of fun, brings a lot of people in. And then Kinzu Heritage Festival is at the end of the month. So it's a full month. Sometimes you hear people say there's nothing to to do around here. And I'm like, you must not be paying any attention to what's going on because there's so much happening.
You said that you've joined and got with the Visitors Bureau in April. Now, what so far has been the most interesting thing that you've been able to do so far with it? Because I understand there's such a large variety of different things that you guys are connected to.
I have been having a lot of fun. I've been saying, you know, we're working hard, but we're having fun because we really are trying to, you know, get out there. I have a lot of work that I have to do in my office. I'm really trying to get out and to the communities and to different events. You know, anyone out there, please, you know, let us know, add it to our calendar. We're always, you know, we scour the newspaper and Facebook and just keep our, you know, on the radio. We hear some event where let's research that and throw that on our calendar. But, you know, if there's something we're missing or, you know, just let us know, bring us your poster, we'll hang it up. We're here for Warren County and we want to make sure people realize everything that's going on here. But something that I've been trying to do is I've always liked the trails that are out all around the county, but I haven't been to all of them. So I'm trying to have a list and I'm checking them off and that way I can get to the different trails. And when people come and say, hey, I'm looking for an easy hike or a hard one or big rocks or waterfalls or whatever. And that way I can tell them from experience, this is where you should go. Because there's so many things to see in nature here too.
You know, that is one thing that I will say that I really love is the different trails that are available here. I've had the opportunity to hike a few of the trails at the Morrison Trailhead and a few at Jake's Rocks and the Minister Creek as well. So there really is quite a good variety here in Warren County. There's a lot of really cool things that people can see.
Like Rocky Gap Trail is an ATV trail. And I went there recently to check it out. You know, what's an ATV trail? It's, you know, that I've never been on an ATV. So let me check it out. And oh my goodness, it was wide enough, you know, for those four wheelers or whatever it is you're on. And as I walked on it, it was almost, it reminded me of like a water slide or a roller coaster or something. Cause it had, you know, the curves and bumps going up and down the hill. And it looks like so much fun. I'm like, I might have to start getting on ATVs because it just looked awesome. One weekend, I happened to be driving through Warren and I crossed the big bridge there. And I saw, you know, a handful of kayaks on the water. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go get some pictures. So I went home, got changed, and I went out to kind of near the point where Conowongo meets the Allegheny. And I was there for maybe an hour and I couldn't tell you how many kayaks and canoes went by. It was awesome. I mean, it was just, you don't want to say it's packed because it's not, you're by yourself, but it was just kind of one after another, or here comes a group, like a family reunion and people in town coming home for the weekend, whatever. It's amazing.
You guys get to kind of see people that are coming into the community and like if they have questions and stuff, direct them to different things. So where have people been in the last couple of weeks that have been coming into Warren County? Have we had like a lot of people coming in from different places, or are they like coming from kind of close, or?
It's really interesting blend. And we'll get some people who are driving through and just need to use a restroom. I mean, that's, you know, we're the perfect place for that right on Route 6. But we get a lot of people from out of town for sure. Recently, I had a couple came in. They were from Missouri, I believe, and they have some kind of a cabin or something up in Canada. So they were road tripping from Canada back home to Missouri. I just had a great time. They were asking, you know, where's the prettiest drive to get from here to a certain place, and showing them, you know, we have maps and we have brochures and we have photos. And so we were able to really kind of map out a fun route for them to go. And that's a lot of fun. You know, people do that kind of stuff all the time. People love to motorcycle across Route 6. And so we get a lot of those people pull in, use the restroom, and we'll give them, we have these awesome motorcycle maps that show them highlights along the way. People are from all over. It's been a lot of fun to meet people and see, you know, what's bringing them to the area. And we've been doing surveys. Where are you from and what's bringing you here? And we find, you know, a lot of it is, you know, the nature around here. People are coming for the reservoir. They're coming to go mountain biking. They're coming, you know, for various trails, Chapman State Park, camping is big. So we get some people that are, you know, someone will come in and say, hey, my kids are coming back into town for the weekend. What can we do? We get a lot of that. It's been really interesting. And, you know, people are happy to see what we have going on here because Warren County is alive and it's vibrant and it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I went to Music in the Park on Friday, and people are sitting out on the streets under the umbrellas, and it's like this little vacation that people have here on Friday nights. They're out there, you know, eating pizza and having a drink, and you know, music is playing across the way. People are sitting and chatting and listening to music, and the river is going by, and it really reminded me of something you would do on vacation. And so even the locals are really getting out and seeing what Warren County has to offer.
People Toward is your Facebook page. It's the Warren County Visitors Bureau Facebook page. And you guys show a lot of different things that are happening in the community. And you guys had a post that I agree with and I appreciate. And it was showing the downtown part of Pennsylvania Avenue / like Liberty and Second, right where the sidewalk is and all the different things that were set up there. And, you know, it's just really nice to see people out on that area and enjoying it. And especially because lately, at least the last week or two, it's busy with people from like 7 o'clock in the morning right through the evening. It really is full of people all the time.
Well, yeah, because we'll go someplace, eat sometimes, you know, on purpose, and then on the way to wherever we're going, there's all the other things going on. So we'll stop, snap a few pictures, and, you know, post them up real quick and say, hey, you got a couple hours to get, you know, wherever we happen to be, and you're missing out if you're not here, and or if you can't get here now, that's okay. How about this is coming up later? So it really, if you're local and you just, you know, you get up, you go to work, you go home, but if you don't look around you, you're going to miss out on a whole bunch of stuff. And sometimes it takes working with tourists to see really what we have here. And so we are getting people into the area more so than I think people realize. And it's, you know, it's huge for Warren County because that helps the businesses and that helps the individuals. And frankly, it's just more fun.
Don't forget the Visitors Bureau is right down on Route 6. So stop in if you have time, see Casey, see everybody else down there. And if you're looking to get an idea of different things, really, they're the people to talk to if you want to come up with something that you've never experienced and you want to try here in Warren County. I'm sure they'll be able to help you with that, whether it's different events, different things you could try, kayaking, canoeing, some of the different activities like that. There's just so many fun things to do, and you guys know how to do all of it.
We have so many brochures and magazines and things that, you know, like you said, if someone's interested in some activity, come here and we'll show you where the many places that can be done. And one of the things we just did was put together a dining guide. So it's a countywide list, the restaurants in Warren County, and it kind of breaks it down by region. So when people come in and say, hey, I'm camping at the Buckland, where can I eat? You know, you say, well, here are the ones in that part of the county, or, you know, if you're really looking for a specific kind of food or drink or whatever, we can direct them that way. And so that's been really popular. So, you know, even locals, you know, picking them up and just keeping them on their kitchen counter or clipping them to their fridge because it has the phone numbers of all the restaurants and some in there that may be your favorites and some you might not even have realized existed. And so that's been a lot of fun too, seeing what all's happening in the county.
You are looking to keep any more details or keep up with them on Facebook, you can go to the Warren County Visitors Bureau, and you guys are constantly posting updates there. So that's something that people can be excited about. And if you're looking to stay up to date with the events, obviously it is the WCVB.net. Casey, thank you for taking the time to join me today and go through this. I'm really glad that we could talk about the different things happening across the community, and I'm glad that we could highlight what's happening here in August.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun.
Your home is connected. Your devices, connected. But who connects you to news in your community? The Erie News Now digital team. Your powerful source for late-breaking news, big stories, and severe weather. Straight to you in so many ways. ErieNewsNow.com, Erie News Now's free mobile app, Erie News Now Plus, Erie News Now on social media. Your choice, anywhere, anytime. Click, like, love Erie News Now on digital. It's local coverage you can count on.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. And today on the Community Matters program, I'm going to be talking with our Erie News Now political correspondent from Harrisburg, Brendan Scanlon. And we're going to be talking about all things budget. We're going to be talking about the primary elections that have wrapped up and the results that have came out of that. It's been an interesting, you know, couple weeks since we last spoke, and we've had some interesting developments come out of that. podcast. So I'm excited to discuss some of those things. But Brendan, thank you for taking the time to join me today. And I'm really glad that we could highlight some of these things.
Yeah, Aaron, great to be here. Thanks again for having me. Always a pleasure.
We should start our discussion with the budget, because the budget just recently got passed and it's been a bit of a debate, a debacle, a situation that has been in development over a couple of weeks now. So would you mind going through some of the details on the newly passed budget there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this budget really is it's a big historic budget for Pennsylvania. It's close to a 3% increase from last year's state spending budget. So some really historic investments for so many Pennsylvanians, obviously education, healthcare, and so many more industries, which have been so hard hit from COVID with staff retention, understaffing, all those types of things. We've had the opportunity over the last 6 to 8 months to hear from so many of these groups, of these trade organizations, these advocacy groups, especially long-term care facilities and professionals, to hear really some of the challenges that they've been facing. So again, with this budget, really some historic investments, the total number for this year that was approved is $45.2 billion. So keep in mind, Governor Wolf gave his final budget address back in February, which is basically where he kind of proposes the number that he would like to see spent. I believe that number was somewhere in the ballpark of $47 billion. So lawmakers were eventually able to come to an agreement. First, the House and then ultimately the Senate were able to agree on this $45.2 billion. It was a little bit late. The deadline for the budget was June 30th. And, you know, there was a little bit of back and forth. I think a lot of the things that got tied up in those negotiations did have to do with education and education funding. Keep in mind, Democrats, Governor Wolf especially, have been really, really trying to gain more support and gain more funding for public schools, for the public school system, like the Level Up Initiative, which basically helps out the 100 poorest school districts in the Commonwealth. So they've really been pushing for that. And then on the other hand, too, obviously Republicans, and we saw this in the gubernatorial primary, many of which were very pro-school choice. So like charter schools and things like that, trying to secure more funding for that. On the other hand, Democrats more in favor of public schools and not trying to see charter schools take some of that funding from those public school districts. So really a lot to this budget, again, historic investments. And we also saw the investment of the remaining American Rescue Plan dollars, which is another big thing that we've been talking about. So this budget did sort of allocate those remaining $2.2 billion that the Pennsylvania had left of American Rescue Plan funding. So a lot of that really going to sort of law enforcement. We heard a lot about gun violence, investigation, prosecution, especially in areas like Philly, where they're developing a task force to look into some of these gun crimes and look into some of those district attorneys there to make sure that they are prosecuting and upholding their duty. So that's been a big thing in recent weeks too. So we're seeing a lot of those rescue plan, also known as ARPA, American Rescue Plan Act. So I'll call it ARPA for short, those ARPA dollars going for first responders, you know, law enforcement, also EMS agencies, who we've also been hearing from, really dealing with a lot in regards to not as much funding, not as many, you know, employees and folks that are able to help some of these first responders out. So a lot of funding going to those first responders. And, you know, obviously too, when we're talking about medicine, long-term care, nursing homes, helping out folks with disabilities, really a big historic level of funding for those groups. But obviously, you know, there's still work to be done. A lot of, you know, really people have been calling for the remaining American Rescue Plan dollars to be spent. And many folks are very happy that we're finally seeing an investment of those dollars here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's one thing that I was just thinking about when you mentioned the ARPA dollars being spent. And then you look at the volunteer fire departments and the other EMS organizations throughout the different counties in Pennsylvania. There is definitely a need for those dollars in those areas, because like we're seeing here, there's consolidation of some of these efforts where some of the groups are working together now to take care of a broader area. Now they're seeing aging communications equipment that they're going to need funding for to have updates on as those things get older and need to be updated as they typically do. And so that does bring up a really good point. But one thing that I was curious about that I started thinking about in relation to the lateness of the budget with it coming in a little bit late, even though it was a little bit late, we didn't really notice any sort of negative impacts regarding that. What sort of complications or implications would there be for them being late like that continuously? Or I mean, obviously there's a goal of a deadline that they have for that, right?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great question. And that's something I have asked, you know, some of the lawmakers when this was first becoming an issue, when we realized at first that the budget was going to be late. And really, you know, I guess there's funds to kind of continue to operate, because keep in mind, an entire state is it's not a cheap run. So there's got to be operating fees to run the entire state. I forget the exact number that it costs to run per day. But basically, there are funds that can allow the state to continue operating. So some lawmakers, when they were talking about this, talking about meeting this deadline, they kind of called it an arbitrary deadline. Some really kind of said there's really no reason to sound the alarm, because, you know, there's obviously going to be funding for different state agencies, different state programs, state employees for quite a period of time. How long that period of time is, I'm not entirely sure, but I do know, I think it was back in 2015 when there was a very long delay to finalize the budget. And that's when we started hearing concern from a lot of state universities who needed that funding. And that was starting to be a serious issue. And I believe that was back in 2015, but I would have to double check on that. And I think anything longer than a few months could definitely start to create some issues. But again, 1 week or 2 weeks, like we saw this year, nothing too drastic. Nobody was really seeing any major issues or not receiving any payments or anything like that.
Do you think that some of the issues that they're dealing with that extended this or created this delay, do you think that some of those things have been hammered out with this, or are they going to be continually present in every year's budget? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think that a lot of them were hammered out. I think the big thing that was causing a bit of a delay this year, at least from what I've heard with folks I've been talking with, was education. Keep in mind, you know, we're seeing a massive investment in education this year. And that was something that, like I said, Democrats and Governor Wolf have been really pushing for. Governor Wolf said earlier this week he would have liked to see more, but he's very happy with the number that was allocated for education. So again, that's an example of probably some compromise between both parties, between Democrats and Republicans, where they were able to agree on this number. Again, not as much as Governor Wolf would have liked, but still, you know, but still a massive amount of funding for education. So, you know, it's really all a lot about negotiating and compromising. But from what I've heard from both sides, from both parties, they are really satisfied with how this budget came out. You know, bipartisan negotiations and working together from both parties was something that was pretty clear about getting this budget finalized.
When you're looking at the budgets and, you know, the way that these things work, and you look at some of the changes that have happened on a federal level, and you look at Roe v. Wade, do you think that, you know, the abortion amendment that they had been working on a little bit might have something to do with extending that as well, trying to get things in last minute?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that was, I believe, last week. So, I mean, earlier in July here, right before they finalized the budget, it was a Thursday night before. And it was interesting kind of how it all happened. So keep in mind, you know, we were at the Capitol Thursday evening. This was after the House had passed their spending plan, sent it to the Senate. We heard from Senate leaders in the Democratic side that budget negotiations were going very well, and that they were hoping to even pass the budget by Thursday night. So naturally, we all hung around, a lot of the reporters, to see if that was going to be the case and if they were going to get the budget done that Thursday night. But ultimately, what ended up happening was Senate Republicans pushed this five-part constitutional amendment, which included that language for abortion, which you just mentioned, as well as some things about voter ID and allowing a gubernatorial candidate to select their running mate rather than voting, you know, having folks vote for them. So a couple of things in there, but the abortion language basically said that the Constitution does not provide the right for a taxpayer-funded abortion or any other rights relating to abortion in the state of Pennsylvania under the state's constitution. So that was something that the Senate voted out of their Rules Committee late on Thursday night. We were there until well into the early morning hours. They passed it out of committee probably just close to midnight. Obviously, Senate Democrats were very upset. It's a very unconventional, I guess, way of pushing a measure, pushing an amendment through. Usually they don't vote after 11 o'clock, but there was agreement from both parties to consider this amendment after 11 o'clock because Democrats had some other amendments that they wanted to add on to the bill. So it was just kind of, you know, a complicated back and forth scenario where eventually they were able to move this constitutional amendment relating to abortion out of the Senate. It passed the following day in the House as well. It's going to be an interesting process to follow along because keep in mind, when we're talking about abortion, obviously we're looking at this year's race for governor, where we have State Senator Doug Mastriano, who is a Republican nominee for governor, very pro-life, who has previously talked about his stance on abortion. And then on the other side for Democrats, we have Attorney General Shapiro, who's very pro-choice. So two very opposite sides of the spectrum. However, with this constitutional amendment, regardless of who is governor, if the legislature can pass this amendment in two consecutive sessions, it would then go to the people. It would go onto the ballot for people to decide. So remember back when COVID first hit and we saw the legislature take away some of Governor Wolf's executive authority and executive privilege when he was issuing a lot of these mandates or the lockdowns, as some people were calling them. And ultimately, the voters decided to take that away. So they stripped that from the governor, and that was from a constitutional amendment. So they were basically able to circumvent the process of bringing stuff to the governor and were basically able to go around his veto, I should say, which is basically what they're trying to do with the abortion-related constitutional amendment as well.
One thing that I wanted to discuss moving on from that would be, last time we talked, the primary election results were not really set in stone. There was some things that really weren't completely figured out yet at that time. Now, I believe everything's all sorted out at this moment, and we've got an idea of the candidates on both sides.
Right, yeah. So we have State Senator Doug Mastriano, who's currently a state senator in the General Assembly in the Senate, and he won the Republican primary for governor, and he'll be facing off against Attorney General Josh Shapiro, who won the Democratic primary but ran unopposed, so he was the only Democratic candidate. And then for Lieutenant Governor, Carrie Lewis Del Rosso is current state representative. She won the race Republican primary for Lieutenant Governor, and then State Representative Austin Davis out from the Allegheny, out from Pittsburgh area. He won the Democratic primary for Lieutenant Governor. So it will be Shapiro Davis versus Mastriano and then Carrie Lewis Del Rosso. So it should be an interesting November, to say the least. Recent polls have showed that it could be a tighter race. But again, we'll see just how much. I think it's going to be a very interesting election cycle because we've been hearing a lot about how abortion might be driving some folks out. It's interesting because people, I feel like now, when we look at sort of the issues with inflation, issues with gas prices, it's going to be interesting to see. And then obviously, too, Aaron, with the midterm elections, the opposite party that does not have power in the White House, of the executive branch in the federal government, usually tends to fare a little better. That's just how midterms tend to flip-flop. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see if the same is true at the state level in the race for governor, also considering this variable that is the recent decisions with the Supreme Court and, you know, the recent efforts by Republicans here in Pennsylvania to push more pro-choice measures. So I've been hearing folks saying that that's going to be big enough of an issue to drive more people out to protect abortion access. But whether that's going to be true, you know, with everything that we're seeing currently as far as higher prices and inflation, we're going to have to wait and see. So in my opinion, I think it could really kind of go either way. I'm certainly not an elections expert, but I think that it's going to be a very interesting election to watch.
With that being said, I understand that the Senate seats as well have been figured out, and Dr. Mehmet Oz is the winner in that situation, right?
Yeah. So at the federal level, it's going to be Dr. Oz versus John Fetterman, who's currently the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. And that's going to be a really interesting race too, I think, because again, we're looking at this potential flip-flop with the midterm elections of more people voting red as we see Biden and Democrats holding the executive and a majority, you know, in Congress as well. So we're going to have to see. I think that's, you know, another one that's going to be extremely close as well. I know John Fetterman has a lot of support among younger people, especially. He's got strong backing. He's been able to raise a really good, both of them have really been able to raise a large amount of money for this race. So I think two solid candidates for both parties, and that's going to be very interesting to see how Pennsylvania chooses to vote in November. But that's another race, very important as well. Obviously, when you're looking at Congress and who can hold the majority in the Senate, that's going to be a very big deal. It's going to be a very big race, and certainly a race that's getting a lot of funding from, you know, some of those national campaign groups, as well as so many other groups as well. And get ready for the commercials to ramp up with that. It's going to be an interesting one for sure.
Brennan, one thing that I wanted to discuss relating to that a little bit would be all of the different reporting that you do here for us on 92 Gold, on 104.3 Kinzu Country, and for Erie News Now, WENY News Now. And what is the best way that people can stay up to date with the reporting that you're doing?
Yeah, I would say just keep listening to your great programs. We try to get as many reports in for folks listening on radio, but then obviously again, two weeknights on Erie News Now, usually 5 o'clock. 5:30, 6 o'clock, we usually have some news, what's happening in Harrisburg, kind of giving you the latest of sort of what's been transpiring down here. Obviously, erienewsnow.com. And if you're out more towards, like you're saying, in the northern tier and central PA, WENY News as well, with our, you know, everything up to date there on WENY.com. But you can also follow along social media, B_Scanland TV. That's my social media. You can follow me on Twitter, on Facebook, where we usually have the latest updates. I would say I'm probably more of a Twitter person. I don't know about yourself, but I usually try to be providing more updates quicker with Twitter. Yeah. I find it's a little easier to fire tweets off, you know, relatively quick as they kind of happen. So I'd say that's probably the best bet if you really want to stay up to date with the latest that we have happening down here.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.